Today's readings are such a good kind of personal commentary on what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be called by God into a mission that is greater than us. This is, right, just a super common buzzword these days, right? This whole movement towards becoming what's called a missionary disciple, and we hear that word and we're like, oh yeah, missionary disciple. I don't even know what that means. And even if I didn't know what that means, I don't know if I want to do that. That's not me. I just come to church, right? So these readings, they speak to us. They speak to me. I hope they speak to you, because these readings really do speak about what it means for you and for me actually to hear God's voice for us, to hear God's personal call for us, and to have a sense of what that kind of very personal psychology looks like, right? That interior conversation looks like. We get three examples of it in the readings, right? St. Peter, St. Paul, and the prophet Isaiah. And how does it begin with the prophet Isaiah? That the prophet Isaiah is witness, right, in this great vision to the altar of God, the throne of God. He sees God in his glory, and his first reaction is to say, I'm doomed, I'm doomed. Something great and beautiful and glorious and good, I see that, I witness that, and somehow my first reaction is, oh, shh, oot, right? That, I'm doomed. And he says, I'm doomed. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips, and yet I have seen the King. That's a real theological statement. I'm a man of unclean lips. It's related directly to the word worship, because when we worship, the verb is to adore, right? To adore God. That word, adore, if you kind of parse it out into its literal meaning, ad orare, to the mouth. Like, so Isaiah is saying, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's actually saying, I am a man of unclean worship. I'm a man who does not stand rightly before the Lord, and I live amongst all people who can't seem to do that either. He's like, look, I'm a sinner, and all these people are sinners, and I'm standing here amidst the perfect goodness. I see that I'm doomed. And so God notices Isaiah noticing himself, and God says, let me send you my angel, let me send you my help, and he sends this ember of grace from the altar to go to Isaiah and to touch what is unclean, right? This great symbol of one's inability to be rightly ordered towards God, right? One's inability to worship God as God is due with one's whole life, and to live not only that personally, but to live that communally, right? And the Lord says, see, I send my help to you. I send my own ember of grace from my altar so that you will be clean. See now that you are clean. And as Isaiah sees himself cleansed of the junk, Isaiah then sees himself free to be sent, right? Missionary disciple. Isaiah sees himself as capable of being sent, of assuming an identity which is much greater than the identity that he gives himself, a mission much greater than a mission lived for one's own self. And so then he continues, right, in this great role of prophet for all the people. St. Paul gives, like, the very same psychology. He says, this is what happened in my life. I was that man. I was the persecutor. I was the worst of them. I was the murderer. I went after God's church. And here I am now as an apostle and as a preacher. This reading in particular really speaks to me. And at some point I may have shared this kind of personal story, but this is a particular reading that God sent to me in my life when I was in seminary, my first year of seminary, when I was still trying to figure out what the heck I was doing. And I was in my first year of seminary, and I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm here. I don't even know if I want to be a priest. I got all these things. I've got all this stuff that I've just walked away from. I don't quite know how to figure it out yet. and I'm feeling a little bit lost. And as I really prayed with that, God sent me to this specific scripture verse. And St. Paul kind of prepares us for that verse. And Paul says, "For I am the least. I am the least of the apostles, not even fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And then Paul says this, and this was the word God gave me. Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's grace in me was not in vain." Man, God said that very phrase to me in this scripture in a time in my life that I needed it very badly. And that sentence became like my personal motto in seminary. It really launched me in a way that I needed to be launched. As I was exploring a vocation to priesthood and trying to figure out, is this God's will for me? And God says, "By my grace is what defines you. I say who you are. I say who you are. You don't get to decide that because I've already decided it for you." Man, this was like my entire homily last week. I didn't preach at the 10 o'clock last week. But my entire homily last week was exactly about that. It was about identity. And it was about who it is you know yourself to be and who it is that God knows you to be. And God reminded St. Paul, you need to know this, who you are. It's my grace that says who you are. It's my grace that makes you who you are. It's my voice that speaks your identity into you. And will you accept that? And because Paul accepted that, Paul became an apostle. Paul was sent on mission. Paul's life was radically transformed in a way that he had never planned for himself. But even in recognizing his own sinfulness, right, as Isaiah recognized his own sinfulness, Paul said, "I persecute the church, and I don't even deserve this. I'm not fit to be one, but that's not my call. It's not my call. My call is to receive what God speaks. That's my call." And the story continues, right? Because the very same thing, are you seeing a theme? The same thing happens in Peter's life. I love this gospel as well. These readings this week are so rich. There's just so much going on. And I want to give just kind of a very personal, personal for you as well, just kind of imaginative psychology of Peter in this moment. Because Peter is experiencing kind of what every one of us experiences in our life of faith, right? This scene begins and everyone's around Jesus and Jesus gets into this boat and he does this first move where he kind of separates himself, right? He goes off the shore, he gets into a boat, he separates himself from the people and he starts to speak to everybody in this kind of general wide swath. And this is kind of how sometimes as Christians we hear the gospel. We're like, oh yeah, Jesus is just kind of speaking out and it's the truth for everybody. It's like the sunshine, right? We all get a piece of it. But it's just kind of this general thing. Oh yeah, Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you. And accept Jesus into your heart. Make Jesus your savior, right? We hear those words. We can even to a certain extent accept those words. And we're like, yes, in faith, I can see, yes, I can see that's true. I can believe that. I can even orient my life towards that. But Jesus speaks back here, and I'm just one face amidst a whole sea of faces. And then Jesus makes the turn. And Jesus says, all right, Peter, time for just you and me. You see, Jesus says the same thing, right? Like the gospel message, which we know is a message for all peoples, it's for all hearts, it's for all souls. It's kind of spread wide as the sunshine is spread across the whole earth. And then there's this moment where the Lord stops speaking in generalities and he turns and he makes the move and he says, all right, time for just you and me. What do you think Peter felt like in that moment? Peter, I just want to speak to you. They're not even there. I just want to speak to you. And in that moment when Jesus speaks to Peter, Jesus says, Peter, I want you to put out into the deep. I want to go deep. I want to go deep. Will you go deep? And Peter says, man, I've been going deep all night and I'm exhausted and I've got nothing. How often does that describe your life of faith and my life of faith? How often does that describe your efforts to live the gospel and my efforts to live the gospel? Where we just kind of fish and we fish and we fish. And there's something down in there, I can't see it. I'm trying to get my nets around it and I'm trying to pull it up and I'm getting nothing. And then Jesus comes and Jesus says, let's do this again. At my command, let's do it again. And Peter's like, well, okay. So Peter pulls up this great catch of fish and something really extraordinary happens, right? He pulls up so many fish that it begins to sink his boat. And so he calls his partners over and he begins to sink their partners' boats. And Peter looks at all this and Peter says to Jesus, in the midst of all this, he's like, go away, get away, get away. I'm sinful. Just leave me. You know what's so fascinating about this? And I was just praying on that, like that moment in the scene. Just really wondering about that because it seems a little bit strange. You would think that fish are the very thing that Peter is looking for. I mean, it's his livelihood, right? They're valuable. We're talking about like economic prosperity. We're talking about exchange of goods for services. Like, you would think fish are, you think Peter would be happy about the fish. Peter looks at the fish and he says, I'm sinful. Crazy. And it just forced me, as I was praying about that, to see something deeper than the surface, to say like, well, why was Peter so unhappy about so much fish? That was a good thing that happened. And I thought, well, what then are the fish? What are the fish in the deep that Jesus pulls up that makes Peter feel sinful? And there's a lot of fish. What's the fish? What's the fish? The fish are the things in the deep in Peter that Peter can't bring up. But when Jesus brings them up, Peter says, here's the junk. I thought I was looking for it, but now that I see it, I really don't want it. I really don't because it sinks me and it sinks the people around me. What is that, right? Your struggles, my struggles. I would offer to you this. It could be any number of things, but maybe, and in particular, what it is your identities and my identities, and maybe there are a lot of them that are deep down there that sink you and that sink me, that Jesus wants to bring to the surface. And we see those identities and we're like, because we see them in the light of God's grace and God's power, and we see them for what they truly are. We're like, those are identity. Those are the things that I always thought that I wanted, that I was trying to search for, that I was trying to gather, that I was trying to make trade with and live my life with. Because isn't it not interesting that at the end of this whole scene, when Jesus says to Peter, I don't want you to be afraid, I want you to follow me, what do they do with the fish at the end? What happens at the end? Like, the fish die. They pull them onto the shore and they walk away from the very thing that was supposed to be valuable. The very thing that was supposed to give them sustenance. And Jesus says, leave that behind, brother. I got something different. I got something different. So this is so rich for you. This is so rich for me. Like, if we're willing to see ourselves in the place of Peter, and we ought to, because every single one of us is Peter, you and I have to come to terms with the fact that in our life of discipleship, we can't escape that. If we're actually honest, if we're actually sincere, if we actually want to follow Jesus, you will never get around that. You're never going to get around that scene. Sooner or later, you have to have that scene. Got to do it because it's true of you. It's true of me. Jesus, at a certain point, stops speaking in generalities and he says, let's go to you. And let's go deep, because I need to fish these things up so that I can reveal to you the way in which they sink your boat. And I want to leave those on the shore so that they can die and rot. And then I want you to follow me, because I want to leave those things behind and I want you to leave those things behind. That's a very different way to look at this gospel. Right? That's a very personal psychology of what it means for you and for me to be called by God. And to notice that when Jesus goes deep with us, He brings up all this stuff that in the light of the day makes us feel sinful, makes us realize that it sinks our boat and that it even sinks the boats of the people that are our partners in life, the people we care for, the people we're close to. And we're like, I'm afraid, I'm doomed. But God, he's just so compassionate. God says, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't got to be afraid of these fish. I'm in the boat. But I want you to follow me. And I want you to leave these fish behind. Because I have something greater for you. I have a call that's greater for you. You're not going to go looking after these fish anymore. You're going to be fishing for souls. And you're going to go with me to those people who will be where you were and where you are in this moment. So that as I can go deep with them and as I use you as my instrument for them, they too can be freed from all that stuff, the identities that make us feel sinful, the identities that make us feel unworthy. Man, this was so much of the content of my yearly retreat that I took about a month ago. It was so good. It was the best retreat I've ever taken in my life. I would go so far as to say that it was one of the greatest gifts I've ever received from God. The retreat that I took about a month ago. And it was precisely about this very issue. Where Jesus gets away from the crowd and he says, just you and me, let's go after those identities. Let's go after those ways in which you define your life by something other than God's grace. Because we need to bring those to the surface, we need to take those to the shore, and we need to leave them there and walk away from them. And as it happens, gall darn it, in Isaiah and in St. Paul and in St. Peter, so it was noticed in Brian's personal psychology. The very real weight of one's unworthiness. A very real identity lie in my own heart. Right, that I need to be let go of. That is not fun to bring that before the Lord. It's so much not fun it even... Is this still working? Oh, it's kind of working. It's working on and off. I'll speak loudly. Yeah, man. It's real stuff. The gospel's real stuff. The call of Jesus to you is so personal. And it's very sober, but it's also very compassionate because the Lord will show to you what he wants you to be free of. Oh. And he says to you, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid. I'm here. Let's walk. Let's walk and let's do something different because I need you to be free. And I need you to be free for your own sake. And I need you to be free for the people that I'm going to send you to. And will you let me do that? That is a mission that I want to be part of. What about you?